All their kids, all the electronic devices get dumped in the basket until they leave. You know, sort of like checking your weapons, if you will, so you can have some fellowship time and live in peace. And that's what we're talking about today. Joy is going to come and light our candles for us. Honey, if you'll do that. 2 weeks ago, because we're in our third week, we talked about hope. You know, the hope of the world, basically, is that God is going to provide us with a Savior in time. Last week we talked about it was the love of God that surpasses all understanding, because he loves us regardless of who we are and regardless of what we do. His love is not contingent upon our actions, but his love is because of his character. And he demonstrated that, and we talked about that last week, when he gave his son while we were yet enemies with God. God nevertheless gave us a Savior. And he sought us out. We did not seek him out. And it's you know, we had the bone pile here in front symbolizing our dead condition. And then the light of the world came in the midst of our death and our sin to show us who God is. And Erwin Lutzer this morning in his message talked about the light of the world, Jesus Christ, coming into the world. And he gave a really neat example. He talked about a cave which only knew darkness was talking to the sun that only knew light. And the sun explained that I have never experienced darkness. And the cave said, well, come in and I will show you darkness. But when the sun came into the cave, there was no darkness. And what a beautiful illustration that when Jesus Christ comes into our life, he brings the light of the world. And the Savior came to redeem us, that we might have a fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. You know, the wonder of the Christmas message, John 3:16, that God gives us eternal life. You know, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your eternal life has started. Your physical life's going to end sometime, but your eternal life has already started. From that point henceforth and forevermore, you will be with the Lord. Peace itself, if you look up the definition of peace, go ahead, Michelle, give me your... Okay, there's our hope, love, peace. There we go. If you look up the term peace in the dictionary, you'll see some explanation or definition, something like this: free from external or internal strife. But biblical peace is much more than that, as we're going to unpack today just a little bit. It involves the concept of an internal wellness or an internal wholeness or an internal completeness. And that's reasonable, because obviously there is no peace in the world, but God has come through Christ, if you know him as Savior, to give you peace and me peace regardless of the circumstances we face in life. That, as Tom read, a peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus regardless of the circumstances we happen to find ourselves in. And that is one of the most positive testimonies we can have of God, of Christ. As ambassadors for Christ, if we respond to the difficulties in this world just like everybody else does, what's the big deal? We're just like everybody else. But if they see within our lives something different when we're going through the turmoil of life, then we're truly ambassadors, because they're seeing the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I was trying to think how to set this message up and what I really wanted to focus on today, and I wanted to share with you an extraordinary expedition that Jim Griffith and I and a couple other people were on. And Jim has brought a pack saddle in for us, as we're going to use as a demonstration here. You're going to see in just a moment. But let me take you with us 2 years ago last September on an amazing trip that we had. And before I show you these slides, I have a very close friend who's an eighth grade teacher down in Paradise. And every year he takes his eighth graders, if you will, on a 60, 70, 80 mile wagon train trip, usually across the desert on one of the historical trails. And there have been several occasions when the Calvary group, reenacting Calvary group I ride with, has been invited to participate in that expedition. And 2 years ago, the teacher wanted to set up a situation where he was going to run his wagon train students out of supplies on the desert. And he asked me if we could put together a relief party. And so the relief party that we put together, Jim was involved in that. So this first slide right here is us heading across into Nevada. And the fellow there in the your left, that's Jim and three of his mules. He's riding another one. There's another friend of mine with another mule. We are actually moving and packing supplies in as a relief expedition. Okay, Michelle, give me the next one. We knew this was really serious business when we came across the coyote out there. And, you know, coyotes are pretty wary animals and pretty with it. And he didn't make it across that playa. And we looked at that, and just about that time, a sandstorm hit us. And we were literally almost blinded. And we were navigating in that sandstorm using a compass on the bearing to where the wagon train was supposed to be. But because of the sandstorm, they diverted a little bit. But anyway, go ahead and give me the next slide. We did find them out there, and we resupplied them. And this had all been set up earlier. But see, this is a real-life experience, and that's what's so important. These young students are living life at the edge. They had run out of supplies the night before, and what they're doing right there is they're eating their first meal that day after they've already traveled about, 7-8 miles and had gotten ready. And so after we resupplied them, go ahead, Michelle, give me the next one. We guided them up over Fandango Pass, which is in the Warner Mountains. We're on the Applegate Trail. This is the historic trail. And you can see behind the pack string, the students back there, they had to abandon their wagons as the pioneers did. And so we had to pack them over the crest. And also they had to carry as much baggage as they could on their backs. This whole expedition for those students went on about 8 days. Jim and I and the other men were a part of it for about 4 doing this part. Go ahead, Michelle. But they made it to the top, and they had quite a celebration up here. But this teacher has won the Teacher of the Year Award nationally twice for his work with students, and that's him in the center right under the monument in the back row there. Okay, give me the next slide. This is Jim, and I'm not necessarily focused on Jim, but I want to use Jim as a representation, if you will, this morning, of something that needs to happen and something that God does in each of our lives. And the point is this: that whole expedition through the desert and up over the mountain is largely a result of the expertise, in this case, that Jim and my other packer had in the ability to pack mules well. Go ahead, Michelle, give me the next slide. And this is why it's so uncritical. If some of us have worked with mules, some of us haven't, some of you are married to a mule, you know, and others of you aren't. But I saw that hand. I think the elders should have a counseling session before Christmas. Mules are really, really interesting. I say some of us are married to a mule because a mule is a thinking animal. They do think a lot about what's going on around them. And one thing you can do, some mules you can pack and they'll handle noisy loads. They're emotionally set up for that. Other mules, you can't do that. Some mules will handle offside loads, weird-looking things. Other mules won't do that. But one thing, you can only pack a mule with what he's intended to carry because of his physical and emotional makeup. If you try to put more on him than he can endure, he's going to pitch a fit. And none of them are going to stand to be overpacked because they'll either quit or they'll get rid of their load by bucking or something like that. It is not a pleasant experience. So Jim, in this case, is an experienced packer. And he's experienced in that he knows each of his mules individually, and he knows what those mules can handle and what they can't. And where, in the line of mules, his mules should be strung out, because mules like us have personalities, you know, and some get along with some don't get along with the others. But the key is success comes from the packer. You mess that up, and it's going to be a bad situation. Okay, so go ahead, Michelle, give me the next one. Setting that up, a lot of life is about carrying burdens. And some of the burdens that we have on us were designed to carry, but other burdens that we have, like mules, were not designed to carry. Okay, for example, and I've just thrown a couple of here, obviously women are equipped to carry the burden of giving birth to the next generation. We guys aren't equipped to do that. There's no way that's going to happen. It's not even a matter of pitching a fit, it's just not a possibility. Men, on the other hand, are certainly equipped to handle the stresses and the strains of caring for and protecting your families. You know, we are warriors, if you will. We can compartmentalize things, and we can shove our emotions aside, go in and just get the job done. That's what makes us, gives us that ability to accomplish things that you gals can't do. God just creates us with different capacities to be able to do different things. So go ahead, Michelle, give me the next one. But the world is full of burdens, and what happens in life is we try in society to get rid of burdens, and so we try to do that by shoving our burdens off onto others. You know, it's an era of no responsibility. Lots of lawsuits go on, but it's the same for us too. Remember in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, where it's just talking about this. When they sin, God comes to them, and Adam basically doesn't take responsibility for the sin. Who does he blame? His wife, okay? Eve. So he passes the buck, places that burden on her. So when God talks to Eve, what happens? She basically passes the buck to the serpent. It's that, I'm going to unload this burden on somebody else. Okay, and in James, we talk about what James told me, what's the source of your quarrels and your arguments and all this? Well, you basically want it, they have it, and so we're going to fuss and fight until I get what I want. Self-centeredness, you know, selfishness, sin on the throne, I'm on the throne, I've got it made, and you're all going to help me get my thing here. This concept of unnecessary burdens and burdens we can't handle runs probably deeper than most of us realize. We can have situations where family members will have, even like around Christmas, certain expectations of other family members, how they should respond to the family at Christmas. And what that is doing sometimes is placing a burden on somebody else. I want you, I have an expectation of how you should act, and therefore I am placing this burden on you. Well, you know, for us, our family is all scattered out right now. It would be wonderful to have them on all home, but it's not a fair burden to lay a guilt trip on everybody and say, hey, you got to be at the ranch for Christmas. That's not right. That would be placing an unfair burden on that. So we've got a world full of burdens that we can place on others, and we can also place unexpected burdens on ourselves. I was talking to a friend at the high school reunion I was at last September, and her thought was that she's an underachiever. Her dad had been very successful in the University of California system. Her mom was a beautiful dancer, and she was just a tomboy kind of thing. And she has been carrying this burden in her life all these years into adulthood. You know, we're in our late 60s now. She never measured up to the expectations of her parents, whether they were real or not. See, she had laid an expectation on herself, a burden on herself, that she was never meant to carry. So what is the result of in life when we carry burdens that we're not supposed to, when we are loaded up with something we're not intended to? Well, it comes out in a lot of ways. It can come out in feelings of stress. Things happen, and all of a sudden, I'm under a whole lot of pressure. What if it doesn't go exactly right? I'm sure Joelle experienced a little of that this morning as watching the kids and bringing all that together, plus the other events that were going on in your family and extended family. That can result in extreme fatigue because we're carrying all this weight. It can get worse and get very personal in terms of resentments toward other people for laying these burdens on us. Pain, suffering, depression. It can result in ulcers and illness because we're carrying all this. Bitterness, anger, lack of peace, obviously. Do we have real peace in our lives? Am I content? Do I look forward to getting up every morning and just enjoying the goodness of God and a relationship to Him and what He's given me? Or is it just another day of drudgery and I just have to get through all this stuff? And it basically is a lack of wellness and it's a lack of wholeness in our lives. And that's the concept that Jesus wants us to understand, that He came to earth to bring us peace regardless of the circumstance. Now, part of bringing peace is an understanding of what boundaries or having boundaries to not accepting some loads and accepting reasonable loads. And we all have to, as we mature, be sensitive to say, now, wait a minute, you're laying upon me a load that is not mine to carry. Joy and I were talking, and we were remembering about a story we heard years ago where a grown man had been struggling under the burdens of some pressures that his long-deceased mother and father had laid on him. And what he did was he took a bunch of rocks, and on each rock, he wrote on that rock with a Sharpie pen or something what burden he was carrying that his mom and dad had given him as a child. And he placed those rocks into a sack. And then he went back to their grave. And at their grave, he unpacked his load. And he took each rock and he said something to the effect, Mom, Dad, I love you. I forgive you. But I'm giving back to you the burden that you placed on me, which was not mine to carry. See, what it was a memorial stone in reverse in a way. It was a monument. Or it was a method of him expressing outwardly something that had gone on internally. He was expressing, I give this back. I'm unpacking my saddle, if you will. I'm not going to carry this burden that you gave me any longer. And that was really helpful for him in seeking peace and understanding and welfare. Okay, so... What about peace? Go ahead, Michelle, give me the next one. Finding peace. The Lord says to us, and it all revolves around Jesus Christ. He says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, as I read this and thought about this, you ever wonder sometimes in Scripture, like, okay, I understand that, but how do I do it? How do I do that? I mean, it's not like Jesus is standing here, like we're sitting here where Shane is, and I can go to Shane and I can take my burden and I say, here, Shane, you pack this, I'm done with it kind of thing. I mean, that's a physical outward expression of giving him something I'm carrying. But how do we do that with Jesus, who's with us in spirit, and give him our load? Well, the reality is this, as I thought about it. The load we really carry is internal, isn't it? See, whatever you're struggling with, whatever's causing you stress and anxiety, difficulty right now, it's an internal battle. It's in the heart, and it's in your soul. And as much as we have people that love us and care for us and come alongside of us, they can't get into your heart. And they can't get into your soul. And though I may take a physical thing and give it to Shane, I'm still carrying something in my heart and soul. And see, it's only there that Jesus can go through his spirit. So we're talking about something that's deep within our souls that says, Jesus, and I think it comes really down to this as a part, I can't handle this. Confessing, I simply am stressed out about this. Carry this load for me. See? Carry the load for me. And that's the verse, the peace that passes understanding that we read, Tom read for us this morning out of Philippians. I think that's one of the absolute key verses for unloading our burden, is going back to Philippians there and reading all those things and then say, praying about these things, talking to our Lord about these things. Come to me, he says. It's an invitation to bring your burden to him, whether it's fair or unfair, bring it to him, lay it before him. And then simply do what he's called us to do. When he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, think clearly through Scripture, by reading Scripture, what has Jesus called you to do? Who you are. You know, I'm a man, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. I have role responsibilities that were clearly laid out in Scripture. To take on more than he's given me is an unfair burden, and I shouldn't be accepting that. And even in those roles, things come up. Study to show ourselves approved, workmen unto God, that needeth not be ashamed. Search the Scripture, God's word to you, and see how it applies to the burden you're carrying. The internet, there's an incredible source of information, the internet. All you have to type in is, what does the Bible say about? And then type in your burden. And it'll pop up, there's one Bible resources that'll pop up, just scriptural verses to that subject alone. And you can look at that and read that down through and let God's word speak to your soul and your heart. It's a wonderful resource. I have told you these things, John says, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome it. I've overcome it. And part of the joy, if you will, of stressful situations is that it drives us back to the Savior. It drives us to his caring for us and his wisdom about how to handle things. You're going to have tribulation? I've overcome it. Now, what's the source of our peace? Well, obviously, God alone is the source of our peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. John 14:27. How many times during the week do we go through situations and it's just causing us anxiety, fear, difficulties? And yet, Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to give you peace, but I want you to come to me. Don't try to handle it on your own. And it's the Spirit, obviously, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fullness, out of Galatians 5:22. And that comes from having the Spirit indwelling us by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we do that, he's promised to give us a comforter, to walk with us, to show us, to enlighten us, as in that dark cave, of how to respond in a way that you can live in peace regardless of the circumstances. In Philippians 4:4-9, part of what Tom read, rejoice in the Lord, be anxious for nothing. Easy, huh? Right? Nobody's anxious here. Pray, give thanks, make a request. That's what that whole section is saying. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that terminology there. We all should, I believe. He's going to guard your heart and your mind in a way that you can't. He's going to set up a heavenly guard, if you will, a spiritual guard around your heart and your mind so you can deal with the situations that we find in this life and still experience peace. Peace in your situation, but also a peace with God, a living well, a living in wholesomeness. And the peace of God, which passes, okay, and then the next one, 1 Peter 5:17 says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's the next one, Michelle, please. That a girl. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. You know, so these verses here just keep bringing us back to that concept that Jesus is our good shepherd, and a good shepherd knows his sheep, or like a good packer knows his mules, and he knows what to put on those mules to accomplish the job and the task that he's intended for us to do. So that brings me to this, biblical peace. The concept is to be complete or whole. When you look up the concept of biblical peace in the biblical dictionaries, what the root words talk about is a wholeness and a living wellness. When somebody would say peace to you, what they're saying to you is live well, live holy, whole, okay, as well as holy. That's what God desires for us. That's the kind of peace he wants to bring into our lives. The Prince of Peace, he wants to bring that into our lives. Our part is to come to him and lay those burdens at his feet through prayer. Okay? Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about. So for a child was born to us, and a son will be given. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And you know the way he does it is by, in his gracious goodness, showing you the load he wants you to carry, and then showing you also the loads he doesn't want you to carry. I had Jim bring in one of his pack saddles for us up here on your right. The thing about that pack saddle that I want you to really realize, it's empty. It symbolizes what Christ wants to do for you. He wants to take your load away. He wants to take your burdens away. He wants to give you peace because what he's called, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Okay. So this Christmas, as we go into this stressful season, whatever is causing you the stress, whatever is causing you to fret, whatever is causing anxiety and all those difficulties, whether it's family relationships or health issues or employment issues or relational issues, all those things, the Lord says, come unto me, just come, and I will give you peace. Let's pray. Father, we just do thank you so much for this time of year. And thank you for the gift of peace. Thank you that you desire to take our burdens away, to be able to deal with them in a way, Father, that we can walk in peace. It doesn't mean they're not there. It does not mean it is not important. But what it does mean that we can be more than conquerors by simply walking in obedience to you. So help us to do that, Father. For those of my brothers and sisters here gathered and for Joy and I, may we live dependent upon you and not dependent upon ourselves. May we turn over each and every burden that we're not intended or designed to carry to you and experience the wonder of peace of walking with our Savior. Thank you for that invitation and that gift to us. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.
Thanks, Steve. Looking forward to next week to finish up the last one of Joy. Peace. How awesome is that to have and to be able to receive that from Christ? This is our opportunity right now is to bring each other our burdens or our praises that we can share with each other and pray with each other and be joyful with each other. So if I believe we have a roving mic that we have going around. So if you have something that you want to share or praise or a prayer request, now's your opportunity to do that, and then we'll pray for that. And so we could always remember Lou. I haven't heard an update, but from last night's email, so we'll have him on our list. But here's your opportunity.
Got some praises and prayer, mostly praises. Last 24 hours have been a little bit interesting for the Key Lines and Rank clan. We're thankful to have our family from the Pacific Northwest, Vancouver, Washington, with us, with Nick and Wendy and all their kids down visiting, and had all sorts of excitement getting ready for the Christmas pageant and various interesting trials, not all of which everybody knows about and needs to know about. But anyway, that the stable's up and all that kind of stuff, so that's all good. And then lo and behold, there was a little flue fire at the Key Line residence yesterday, and had the fire department out, and I guess that was pretty scary for a little while. I was gone for that part. Thank God their home is still standing, so that's great. And then I think a little bit of the stress, Marcia got to go to the hospital for just a little bit with a little bit of a scare there, and thankfully she's doing fine. All the tests checked out just great, but they hauled her in last night, and thankfully she's doing well. And found out late yesterday that my daughter Jackie was driving up from Cal Poly and didn't leave San Luis Obispo till about 5:30 or 6, much to her father's chagrin, because that's not exactly the time I like my daughter driving home from San Luis Obispo. She got a flat around San Jose, and around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, had to wait a couple hours for somebody to come put on the spare, and she got home about 9 o'clock this morning, so about 14 and a half hours to get back from San Luis Obispo. But thank God she's home, and here she is. She's not here. She's sleeping probably at home. So anyway, you can keep us in your prayers. Seems like we're in a little bit of an attack mode here or something, but thank God we're all here, we're intact, and moving forward. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us.
Hi, I'm Marla Hayes, and I just asked for prayer. We just found out late last night, that a dear friend of Michelle's since the sixth grade just found out that she has T-cell lymphoma. She's 31 and has two beautiful, beautiful children and a wonderful husband. And this cancer thing that's going on, I don't understand, but I know we have a great God that's going to beat it and going to take care of her. We don't know yet. Michelle will probably call her this afternoon. She put it on Facebook last night, and I've had a terrible night. She's just, I've considered her one of mine for a long time, and I know Michelle's heart's broken. They've been really close. So just please pray for Laura and Danny and the kids. And her mom is a nurse up at Mercy Hospital, and they're just devastated. She said her whole family, they're really tight. There's 9 children, and they're really tight. So I know that she'll be able to get through this, but you guys are so wonderful and have been so wonderful. Please help us, especially at this time of year, to pray for them. Thank you.
I'm Sherry. I would just like to give you an update on my neighbor. I got a call from him a couple days ago, and he is out of rehab. So just be lifting him up in prayer that he can make it, you know, and stay sober and get his life back. He's staying with his son through the holidays, and that's a good thing because normally he doesn't stay with his son. His son won't allow him to. And so that's a step in the right direction. But just be praying for him that he can make this work so he doesn't. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, his name is Jim. I'm sorry. Yeah. Pray for his salvation. That's the biggest thing he needs more than anything. Sorry.
We've asked for a friend of ours named Richard on several occasions. He was a high school friend of ours. became very wealthy. He was a dentist, traveled the world, just had quite a life, but he got into sin, and now he is pretty destitute. And we've asked prayer for him before, and he has been very stubborn in not wanting to realize who Christ is. He called us last night. We had sent him a card, and we hadn't talked to him in probably 9 or 10 months. And we talked for an hour, and I'm really encourage you guys, please keep praying for him, because he was open to what we had to say. He really kind of listened to us. And so I just want to lift him up before you. Richard, please pray for him.
We have a long-term friend named Ron Granados, and he's had cancer in his throat. He's finished all his treatments, but he lost his voice. He can just whisper, and he has a really hard time swallowing. He's a very godly man. He's been a pastor for many years of his life. He and his wife love the Lord, but just pray that he could enjoy food again, and that his voice would return, please.
Good morning. I'm Terry Griffith, and I'm asking for prayer for my daughter. She called me last week. Her name is Christy. She works in the medical field. She had left the hospital, was going to her car. Got really nauseous. Her heart was racing, so she went back in. They took her to the ER, and her pulse was like 220, and it should have been around 70. So they were going to do a procedure, and I don't know what it was called, that would literally stop her heart. And they told her, don't worry, we can start it again. So we're still not sure if that's going to have to be done or not. She says it was kind of scary laying there in bed and have 10 people standing around you with a crash cart. So I guess she would like peace, and that they will find out what's causing this and that they'll be able to fix it. So thank you.
All right. We got one more, Cheryl.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Jackson. I would like for us to just pray for all the families as we all gather together and bring in people that we don't normally see, such as our kids that live on the East Coast and things like that. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, everybody changes over the years, and sometimes it's hard to get together once a year. Anyway, also, we have just found, and I find out that I have a daughter who's just like me. We're finding people in the world that have no place to go for Christmas. And we've invited 5. One of them lives in San Diego, so we'll see how that works out. But it's just amazing to me how many people don't have a place to go for Christmas. As far as I know, we've got 3 coming in for sure, and maybe this guy down in San Diego. It's just, Christmas is a time for family and for Jesus and to share the love of Christ. And I've always said, oh, yeah, Thanksgiving, that's the best time to have, you know, friends and people you don't know over. That's the best time, you know. But no, it's Christmas. This is where we share the true love of the Lord. He came down to save us. He included all of us in his table of goods, you know. I mean, we've all got the plan of salvation before us. And it's just shocking to me how many people don't have a place to go for Christmas. So our house may be rocking and rolling, and it may not. I just don't know yet. We'll find out Christmas Day, or closer to Christmas. Thank you.
Anybody else? Derek.
I'll just stand up. I talked to Ed and Kathy yesterday. They're not here, are they? The surgery went really well. Way better than they thought it would. I think Ed was even driving. So, no figure. But, that it went really well. None of the words they had came from the version. Great.
Good. All right. Well, it's also good to see Mitch back and also see Miriam. So it's good to see you all back. Another college kids out there that I don't see right now, but good to have you all back for Christmas too. So let's close this in prayer here. And then after this, we'll have a closing song. So let me close this. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for today. Thank you for the hope, the love, and most often the peace that you can give us, Lord, and just help us to take our burdens and just to give them to you, Lord. It's not always easy for us as a person, but help us to be able to come to that grips, Lord, and to be able to do that. And thank you for Steve's message today, and just we just help us to put that into actual practice, Lord. And Lord, I